The rest of us, we can turn back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So while you're finding Joshua chapter 1, I'll get a few of my things ready here. Joshua chapter 1. Let me go ahead and read our text again just to get reacquainted with it, have it in our minds. And so we'll start in verse number, let's go ahead and start in verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That word prosper is a powerful word, isn't it? It's precisely what we want in life, to prosper. Let me address your attention to the signs at the front. We just got those put up this week. And the text on there is our message for today, Joshua chapter 1. This is not just something that I want to, you know, teach or preach as a message this morning. I want this to be a direction that we go as a church. I want the message that we preach today to lay a foundation that we as a church can build on top of for the future as we seek not only to get by. Are you tired of getting by in life? Are you tired of just sort of putting up with things and you know, just sort of enduring? Or would you like to move forward? This morning, I think that God wants us to move forward. It's going to require us to have faith. It's going to require us to have courage. It's going to require us to be obedient. And this morning, I want to encourage you to open your hearts as God leads you. And I promise you this. I promise you this, church. He'll help you to get the tools you need to press on, to move forward, to get past some things. He will give you all that you need right here. And so let's have prayer. And we'll ask God for his strength this morning. Father, this morning we need you. We desperately need you. God, we confess that because of our depravity, because of our tendency to sin, our tendency to fall away from you, God, our tendency to be distracted, God, our minds distracted, our life distracted, so that we don't think of you. We don't worship you, God. We don't praise you. And our life, Lord, becomes a series of trials and struggles. And God, we don't want to live that way, and we certainly understand that you don't want us to live that way. So I pray you'll help us to see what it'll take to reach that promised land, God, that victorious Christian living that we know that you have for us. I pray for your people this morning that you'd open our hearts, touch us, give us just what we need, please. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, our message this morning has to do with moving forward. However, sometimes in life, we feel like we're like the guy who's stuck in the Walmart line, like the bad line at Walmart. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody gets in the bad line at Walmart on purpose. Nobody does that. It just happens to us, though, doesn't it? We guys are on a mission when we go to Walmart. And I'm telling you, I get an amen for all the men in this room. Nobody wants to go to Walmart if you're a man. You don't want to go to Walmart. Most ladies probably don't either anymore. But so when we're walking through the front door, we're already putting a battle strategy together. Like we know where they're that we're there for, and we don't know where it is because we don't know where anything in any stores are. But we're trying to figure out, okay, now this is what I need. How can I get there? Get the item. and immediately get out of the store as quickly as possible. And so that's what we're doing. It's, when we're walking through the door, that's what we're thinking about, okay? Get to the thing. We're not distracted. We're not looking at stuff on the journey. It's not a journey. It's a mission, okay? Mission to the item, get it to the checkout, out, less than 5 minutes, miracle if it happens. So we get in the line, and we think it's going to be good because it's the short one, but it, you know the end of this story. It's not good. And the people in the line that's twice as long as your line, they're laughing at you because they know they're going to be at home in their Snuggies before you check out. You know what I'm talking about? They know. You're going to be there for another couple hours, it feels like. And, you know, that's why they put all that stuff on the aisles. So they want you to look at that for 30 minutes while you're trying to check out. You know, sometimes that's how our life is. Sometimes our life is like the bad Walmart line. You know, we get a job and we think it's going to be one way. But then while we're doing our job, it turns into something else, you know? It becomes a burden, a real struggle in life. Not just our jobs, though. Sometimes our marriage gets like that. Now listen, I'm not saying that marriage has to remain that way. I'm not saying that our jobs have to remain that way. But when we get married, whenever we fall in love with somebody, or we move into that thing of love, and we start talking like, well, we're going to have to get married. And it's just, you know, fuzzy feelings, and it's exciting, and not that, you know, those aren't good things. They are definitely good things. But it totally changes when you do get married, right? I mean, you find out what you really got married to. Mostly the ladies, you know, the guys are like, yes, you know, but you realize, oh man, this is not quite what I thought it was. So I think we got a marriage dispute going on over, anyway. So we think it's going to be one way, and then it just, now, it doesn't mean that we're just down in the, like, the bottomless pit, okay? It's not like we're down there in the bottomless pit in our marriage. I'm just simply saying it gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? Now, if you're married, and we're teasing over here, but if you're married, we all go through this. There's not a married couple that doesn't have these kind of struggles. We all have this, you see? And so we feel like we're in that rut. We're in that bad Walmart line, and we're struggling here. And we want to move forward, but we're just stuck on some things. Can we get past it? Can God get us past it, you know? That's what we need an answer to today. We need an answer to these questions. It might not be your job. It might not be marriage. But you know what it could be this morning? It could be something like an addiction. And addictions bring us low, don't they, church? Addictions bring us low. Now, addiction is a broad word, isn't it? It has many applications. And if you think today we're only talking about, you know, drugs or alcohol or, you know, sort of the mainstream addictive type things, if you think that's all we're talking about, then you're mistaken. There's a host of things we can get addicted to. And I want you to know, down in the depths of your heart, you know that it's going to take you low, don't you? You have this thing, and you just can't get over it. You can't get past it, and you want to. You want to move forward. You want to leave it behind you. You don't want to have the struggle anymore. But it lingers. And it's like it carries on in life. And it's like a nightmare that won't end, you know? And you wake up the next morning and you feel like, I hate myself. I hate this in my life. And I don't want this in my life anymore. I don't want to be involved with this anymore. And so maybe a new leaf, you try to turn over a new leaf. You try to do something different. You try to make changes. You try to get new friends. Try to get new relationships. And you know, try to do all these things. Maybe if you get some people on board, get in the ship with you, you know, and you'll start to change the rudder of life, and you'll get going the right direction. You know, if you get some people in your life in the ship with you, they'll help you steer the right way. But you know what we do commonly? We'll get those people in the ship, and then we'll throw them out later. Our addictions do that. And it just pulls us back under over and over and over again. And the question we have to get an answer to today, can we move forward? Can we? Can God get us past these issues of life? Well, just the answers that we're needing, is precisely the answers that the children of Israel are needing. They want to move forward. They've been stuck for a long time. I mean, we've been talking like 40 years. Some of you might say, well, I've had some struggles for about 40 years, you know. Well, Israel has had a struggle for 40 years. You know what it is? They've wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. You know why? It's because they didn't have faith in God. Those of you who remember the story, the children of Israel, they were God's people. And a mighty, miraculous moving of the hand of God delivered them from bondage. Remember, they were under the greatest empire of the known world, the Egyptian Empire. And God sent Moses with a rod. And he's going to deliver a nation of people who are in bondage from the greatest empire in the world. And all he had was a stick. But God sent him in, and God brought him out, didn't he? The parting of the Red Sea, they walked across on dry ground, and the Egyptian soldiers, you know the story? They ran in after them, and God brought those waters down on, caved in on the Egyptians, and took the children of Israel to victory. Praise God, they look back and they think, look what God did. What a miracle God did in our nation and in our lives in delivering us from this terrible bondage. And they get on the other side of the Red Sea and they start to complain because things weren't going so good. They ran out of water and they started getting thirsty, didn't they? And they said, oh man, we need some water. And they complained and they bickered and they fought. And as the story goes, the murmuring of the children of Israel as God has brought them out. And it just seems that they just complain and they complain. But finally, it was time. Hey, listen, we all have struggles, ups and downs. It's not like God's ready to throw us under the bus every time we have a struggle. But listen, it's time to move into the promised land. It's time for God to fulfill his promise and take the children of Israel out of bondage across the Red Sea into the Canaan land where they'll be victorious living there of the mighty hand of God, where the land flows with milk and honey and God's going to sustain them and take care of them as a nation. And they're on the edge, the border of the Canaan land in Kadesh Barnea. It's time to move in, but they weren't ready to move in yet. Wisely, they sent spies in to spy out the land. How many spies, church? Does anybody know? 12 spies. They sent the 12 spies in. They spied out the land. And here's what the observation is. They brought the report back to the children of Israel and to Moses. The report was, 10 of the spies said, we can't go into this land. There are giants here. And in the sight of this vast empire of people that are in this world, that's how they saw it, as an empire of people that was too vast to overcome. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their sight, didn't they? And if you're a grasshopper in the sight of a giant, all he has to do is just step on you and you're dead, right? That's what they saw themselves. 10 of these 12 spies brought back the evil report. We can't move into the land. We can't go into the promised land. Even though God had promised them, he would take them into the promised land. They brought the report back. We can't go in. The giants are too big. We're nothing but grasshoppers. And here's the saddest report of all. The nation of Israel as a whole believed the evil report. And they complained yet the more, they murmured yet the more. And God, through their lack of faith, said, you will not go into the promised land, not this generation. And that they were destined to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, stuck in the rut. Not able to move forward because of their lack of faith. That's not why Moses wasn't able to move forward. Moses was stuck in the wilderness for the 40 years because of his lack of faith. Whenever God said, I want you to speak to the rock. Remember in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and all of this is sort of tying together, where God said to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. And when you speak to it, what's going to come out of it? Because the people were thirsty. God says, you speak to the rock, water will come out and take care of the host of Israel. Moses didn't speak to the rock though, did he? Now remember back earlier, whenever they were thirsty the first time, Bible students, they were thirsty the first time, and God told Moses, I want you to strike the rock, and when you strike the rock, water is going to come out. Do you know what? That's a beautiful picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not beautiful in its nature in the sense that it was beautiful that Christ was crucified, but that Jesus died to pay the penalty of our sins, and through the death of Christ, the water of life pours forth. How many times did Jesus die on the cross? One time. So the second time they were thirsty, when God said to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock, it's a beautiful picture of prayer. That we don't need to strike the rock again. Jesus doesn't need to die again. He just wants us to pray. But Moses messed up the picture in his anger. He struck the rock again. And water raged out of the rock. But God said to Moses, because of your lack of faith, you will not go into the promised land either. So now Moses, because of his lack of faith, now the children of Israel, believing the report of the 10 spies, we can't go into the land, there's giants, and we're nothing but grasshoppers. But there were two men, two spies, who didn't give an evil report. Do you know what their names are? One of them's name is Caleb. The other's name? Joshua. Joshua said, oh yeah, there's giants. But God can get us in there. God can take care of those giants. I say we move forward. Well, that's a powerful statement from Joshua, isn't it? It's too bad the children of Israel believed the ten who gave the evil report, because they were destined to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. But God promised that Joshua wouldn't stay because of his faith, and Caleb because of his faith, that even though Moses wouldn't go, and the children of Israel of that generation, they wouldn't go to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb would. And you know what we have here in Joshua chapter 1? It's time to move forward. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of who? Moses. That's the key, isn't it? Moses wouldn't get to go into the promised land. And now Moses is gone. Look what happens next. The servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Do you know what God said to Joshua right there? I'm just going to tell you in a short phrase. Here's what God said to Joshua. It's time to move forward. Let's go. Moses is gone. The generation that doubted is gone. It's time to move forward. Listen, church, God wants you and I to move forward. Is it going to be easy? Just because God says it's time to move forward, is it going to be easy? No. Are the giants still there? Yes. The Canaanites are still in the land, but it's different now. God's going to do it. God's going to get them there. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This is God speaking to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now I want you to note this last phrase of verse 5. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is God saying to Joshua, you're going to go into the promised land because I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And I'm going to take you forward if you just get on, like we said this, if you just get on my back, I will take you into the promised land. Joshua, you lead this people and you follow me and we're going to move forward. I'll not fail you. Isn't that good? Sometimes we feel like we can't move forward because God has failed us. We are mistaken. We are mistaken. God never fails, and he has never failed, and he will never fail you. His promise is still true today. It's not any different. You say, well, this is thousands of years ago when God led Israel. Hey, listen, it's not any different today. God has not changed. He's the same that he would not fail you. Remember in the New Testament, into all the world, said to the disciples, the apostles themselves, it's time to go and to preach the gospel into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember? He didn't stop there though. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now listen to what Jesus said. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So there's a great task. God wants us to move forward with the gospel. God wants us to reach Falls City. God wants us to reach the regions round about. I mean, there's towns north, south, east, and west. There's towns and regions beyond here. There's nations across the globe here. We're talking about, and what he's saying is, I'll never fail you. I will never forsake you in this task. So if there's a failure, it's not God. If we're not moving forward like Moses, the children of Israel, for 40 years stuck in the rut, and like our life can be stuck in the bad Walmart line, and we're not moving anywhere, it's not because God has failed us. God never fails. And He'll never fail us. There's such power in that, isn't there? There's such strength in that. And so Joshua can move forward. You and I can move forward, but we have to have faith. We have to have courage. We have to have God's guidance. We have to let God work in us and through us to move us where He wants us to be. And so that's where I got these signs here, because I want to help you to remember some things, okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to take forever, but I am going slow, so I need to hurry up. Y'all are listening too slow this morning. Okay. Now, here is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to do some, if we're moving forward, right, we're going to do some road signs to help us know we're on the right path, okay? So you're going down the road, and you see a sign that says a town or a city that's so-and-so miles away, but that's not a town or city that you're going to, then you know you're going the wrong way, right? It's probably should turn around and go a different way. So the road signs we're going to see here are road signs to success, road signs to the promised land. This is how we move forward. Now, they build. And so here's what we're not doing. We're not just putting together like building blocks, okay? They are just road signs that build on each other. They combine together. Like one thing brings you to another thing and they connect. And then those two things, when they connect, they bring you to the third thing, which connects all three of them. And the next thing you know, you've reached the destination. You've moved forward. You've reached the promised land. So the first road sign we're going to see this morning. Now, it's real tiny, so let me get it right here. It says, promised land 100 miles away. Grasshoppers, beware. That, by the way, grasshoppers, that's you and me. I mean, we're the grasshoppers, right? Go back while you can. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means this isn't going to be, you want to move forward, right? We've decided that already. It's not going to be easy, okay? So we need to be courageous. Courageous, right? So let's see that in the text. Look at verse 6. We'll just read these, okay? Verse 6. It says, be strong and of a good what? Now look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Moving forward on God's path will require you to have courage. God's strength and God's courage. Listen, it starts right there. Understanding that this isn't going to be easy. You're going to face giant opposition. You're going to face mountains of pressure and deserts of grief as we're moving in this journey, moving forward, going where God wants us to go. And as we go, having courage, answering this question, is anything too hard for God? No. Nothing's too hard for God. Not one thing. And so God can move us forward. We have to have courage to get on the right path. Getting on God's path is going to require us to do that because of the difficult nature of moving forward. Following God isn't always easy, so it's going to require us to have courage. We touched on this in Sunday school this morning. Courage is something that God wants us to have. He wants us to have courage. And we often don't even get on the right road to moving forward because we lack the courage. Courage isn't without foundation, though. Courage has substance. Our courage is built on a faith that God's promises are true. Amen? Like God's word is true, and God's promises are true, and God has said He'll move you forward if you just have courage to get on that path. Listen. You need God in your life. You need God in your life. Listen, you want to move forward and you're trying to do it without getting God in your life? It's not going to work out so well. Listen, any movement at all isn't meaning that you're moving forward. Have you ever, you noticed those roundabouts? I wonder why we build those things. You know what I'm talking about, a roundabout, the thing that just goes around and around and around, and you're like, oh, you're watching out. Those make me more nervous than the stop signs. Well, I guess we don't know how to do stop signs anymore, so we do the roundabout. Anyway, that's my opinion, but whatever. You ever feel like in life you're stuck on that? You're on the roundabout. You're the rat in the cage doing the wheel. You're not going anywhere. And God doesn't want us to be stuck on a roundabout. He wants us to move forward. And so it's going to require us to have courage that God can do it. And remembering that just any movement isn't moving forward. We need God. We need Him. So courage. All right? So the next building block, road sign, number 2. We ready? Let me get it. 50 miles to the promised land. Hey, by the way, 50 miles to the promised land from 100 miles, that's good because that means we're going the right way, right? Here's what this one is. By the way, here's some subheadings here. Giants in the land. Grasshoppers, that's us. Remember, there's giants there. And so the warning, the temptation, rather, is don't even try it, right? You better stop now. But here's what God wants us to be. Obedient. Obedient. So courage links together with obedience. It's not a building block. These things link. So they build. We need courage so that we can obey what God wants us to do. Let's look at that in our text. Verse number 7 again. Look what it says. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Do you see that? To do. Do you know what that is? That's like whenever mom says, make the bed. You kids in here are listening now, teens, right? Make the bed, clean your room, wash the dishes, whatever, take the trash out. We all love doing that, and the dishes, all these things we just love. But and then after mom issues the commandment, you do it right away. That's obedience. And so here's what God is saying. He's saying, be strong and courageous so that you can do according to the law, that which Moses, verse 7, my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We're talking the book of the law. We're talking about the word of God, church, the scriptures. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's thinking about it, chewing on the word of God in your mind, meditating on it, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And so our courage, our strength, our courage leads us to obedience in God. I mean, it couples together with obedience to God. If we're going to move forward, if we're going to move forward in these areas of life that we want to move forward with and through, with God, we can do it when we have courage and when we're obedient. We have to obey God. And courage will give you everything you need to be obedient to God. So, we're on the journey, going the way that we should go. We're trying to be obedient. And we are starting to understand, at least I hope we are, that whenever we're talking about obedience to God, we're not talking about something that's optional. We're talking about something that is the only option in life that will move us in the direction that God wants us to go, moving forward in the issues of life. And so to move forward, we can't look back. Yesterday, we were on the track at the lake down the road here, and the kids were riding their bikes, and I was running around the track, and we just got a bike for Ethan. And so he's got training wheels on there, and he's riding around, and he's proud of himself. Now, there's a few places on that little trail by the lake. It's pretty close to the lake, you know. And I'm not nervous about it, but when my five-year-old is riding a bike with training wheels on it, and he passes me, Dad, move! And I'm like, no, you go around me, you know. And he's like, Dad, move. It's like a bulldozer, you know. And anyway, I get out of the way, or he's going to wreck into me, I guarantee it. So he passes me, and as soon as he passed, he's so proud, because I'm running, and he passed me. And so here's what he's doing. He's riding his bike, and he turns around, and he's looking at me. He's just staring at me. And I see, and I'm watching him as I'm running. He's going, and his bike is doing this. I'm like going right to the lake. So I'm yelling at him, look forward. I'm like, look forward. You're going to drive off into the lake. And then he turned around and was like, whoa, you know. And he was doing okay whenever he was looking forward. He was moving in the right direction then. Listen, to move forward, we're going to have to be obedient to God. We're going to have to look forward to the things that God has promised to us. And understanding that God's going to be the only one who's going to move us forward, but it's going to require our obedience to Him. doing what God wants us to do, moving forward with obedience to God. The last road sign, rather, in this sequence of three road signs is found in verse number 9. Look what it says in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be thou not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for, look at this, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want you to look back at verse 5 again. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. See that? I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So you have courage that God is faithful, right? And we're obedient to God. It's in this process of moving forward, it's going to require us to have faith. Listen, we have the walls of Jericho just ahead. Those of you who've read the story of Joshua, the book of Joshua, what did they encounter in the journey into the promised land? The walls of Jericho, remember? Okay, now, to defeat Jericho, God said, I mean, this is a military conflict to defeat Jericho. Here's what God said. Now, you're going to have to be courageous, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around the walls 7 times. And that's all you need to do. Oh, but when you get to the end, blow the trumpets. And then I'll do the rest. Okay, well, that's a pretty awesome battle strategy. Let's march around the wall 7 times. That'll do it. Listen, when God gives us commands and then he wants us to have faith, he wants us to be obedient, it's going to require faith sometimes, isn't it? All the time it's going to require faith, but sometimes it's like, whoa, this is what you want me to do? How is that going to work? But they were obedient to God in faith that God was going to move them forward. They marched around the walls, and we know the story. The walls came tumbling down. They wrote songs about it. And then they marched in and destroyed the city. They overtook the city, and the walls came down when they marched around it. What's the point? God did it. They didn't need to do it. They didn't need to do anything. They just needed to be courageous to obey God, and God does the rest. So we want to move forward. And we want to overcome some things in life. We want God in our life. We have to have God in our life. It's going to require courage. It's going to require obedience. And then faith that God's going to do what only he can do. Because we can't do it. We've already discovered that, haven't we? That's why we're stuck in the bad line at Walmart. Because we can't do it. We are stuck in our sin. We're stuck in our issue. We're stuck in our trial. We're stuck in our situation, whether it's, as we said, job, marriage, addiction. And that's not an exhaustive list, church. There are things in life we want to move forward, and we feel like we can't. And here's why. Because we can't. Only God can do it. But it's going to require you to have courage, to be obedient to God, and then wait in faith because God's going to do it. And then what was the next thing? Because, by the way, children of Israel did this. Read through the book of Joshua. It's precisely what they did. And you know what God did? He brought them to the promised land. Next exit. You made it. Success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's the scriptures. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good what? Success. You're going to get there. You say, Pastor, I can't. We can't. I tried. I can't get there. No, you can. You can't, but God can. If you're courageous and obedient and trust that God can do what you can't, he'll get you there. Listen, it works. It works every time. Has God ever broken a promise? Never. Will God fail you? Never. Will this work 100% of the time? Every time it works, every single time. If you're stuck, do this, and you'll move forward. I promise you it's true. This is a timeless truth, church. It worked thousands of years ago, and it still works today. And so for you in life, it could be that you need to be saved. And what a testimony from the ladies we heard earlier, right? And it could be that you're hearing the message of God and the message of the Bible and the message of getting God in your life and getting salvation, and God is starting to like, whoa, it could be that I need this in my life. It's time to move forward, isn't it? It's time to move forward. I don't remember which one of you ladies said it, but somebody said you needed to go to the altar, but you didn't want to. Okay, so what is it going to require to go to the altar? Courage, isn't it? By the way, it took courage just to get up there, didn't it? Yeah. But God did it. God did it. You have courage, and God moves you, and he does it through you as you're obedient to him. And then you just have faith. God's going to do this as you move in obedience to God. And then before you know it, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, look what God did. Praise his name. Look what he did. He took us into the promised land when there were giants and we were nothing but grasshoppers. And this is so cool. Is all we had to do was march around the wall 7 times. And then they just, look what God did. We can't do this, but God can. So maybe you need to be saved this morning. Maybe you need God in your life. You've been saved and you know you're saved, but you've turned away from him. It's time to come back. It's time to turn back to him. Get him back in your life. Have that courage. Have that obedience. Have that faith that God's going to get you there. And we need this as a church. We have a lot of things we need to do here. And we want to move forward as a church. And that's why this is our theme. Moving forward. We're going to be talking about this. I won't be preaching this message every week, but we're going to be talking about this for a long time because this is what we need to do. Father, this morning, we thank you for your goodness and we pray, Lord, for your blessings and your word. Lord, this morning, your people need you. And I hope this morning that people were blessed by your touch and God, that you worked in them, draw them into whether it be salvation or God just moving forward in their spiritual life, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you'll draw and work in the hearts of your people. And certainly, Lord, we'll give you glory for it. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Let me ask you an important church. Let me ask you an important question. Now, nobody's peeking. Please don't look around because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. You say, Pastor, I'm not for sure if I was to die today that I would go to heaven. Now, it doesn't mean that you're you just see yourself as this horrible, terrible person. It just means you don't have security. Like, you just don't know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. I won't call you out. I won't say your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't even track you down after church about this. But I do want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody like that? You just lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You just lift your hand, put it down. I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty, those of you. Anyone else? I won't embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. Will you pray for me? I'll pray for you. Well, let's have that prayer right now. Let's pray for these that lifted their hand, and then we'll have the organ play for our time of invitation. Lord, we pray for these that lifted their hand. God, that you would draw them unto you, speak to their hearts, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's stand together.